Hi, welcome back to part two of Religion Matters, and that was A Time to Remember from Liam Lawton, and it was chosen by my next guest, and I'm delighted to welcome back to the Religion Matters studio Bishop Dennis Nulty, the Catholic Bishop of Kildare and Loughlin. Bishop Dennis, you're very welcome back.
Good morning, Brenda. Always lovely to join you and KFM on this Sunday morning.
Yeah, now we're I suppose, A Time to Remember, it's kind of an appropriate lead-in to our conversation because obviously November is the month in which we traditionally remember and pray for those who have gone before us, marked with the sign of faith. And you've launched a pastoral letter. And before I talk to you about that, you might just explain first, what exactly is a pastoral letter?
This is a letter which is written to every parish in our diocese, to every person living in our diocese of faith, who are interested in their faith. And I particularly, I suppose, launched this as a diocesan pastoral letter rather than something of a national. It's purely on an issue that affects every listener this Sunday morning who has lost a loved one in death.
Now, this pastoral letter is the beginning of a wider conversation, but what sort of themes are you looking at in your pastoral?
Well, the first theme, I think, is how death affects everyone. People deal with death in different ways. And I take a topical image, which comes from Ortiz First City, where one of the characters, Charlie, the bereaved husband, some weeks back, he was mourning the death of his wife, Esther, and his friends started cleaning up his house. They got worried he was losing the run of himself. And among the things they decided to clean up was a scarf of Esther's, which had on it her perfume. And he was clinging on to that for his dear life. The guys didn't understand. They threw all clothes into the washing machine, bundled them together like we all do, Brenda, yes, at times. And of course, Charlie comes back and he says, "You've cleaned the house and the perfume is gone." I think we need to keep the scent alive for so many in our parishes around the dignity and the way funerals are celebrated. And as you rightly said, this is the beginning of a conversation which I've launched on the, I suppose, All Souls Day, the second day of November, with the view in a year's time, writing a letter regarding norms, guidelines around best practice in funeral liturgies. The conversation has to be led by somebody, and it's the Commission for Liturgical Formation in our diocese in Kildare and Loughlin, who in some ways are stimulating the conversation, and they asked me to write a pastoral to begin the conversation, and that's exactly what I've done.
Now, is this conversation, I suppose, it's as well as for people who are in church all the time, is this in a way to help inform people who maybe only interface with, and I don't say that as a criticism because, you know, everyone is at a different stage and a different place, but is it as much for people who maybe come to church around the time of funerals or maybe haven't been to church themselves for a number of years and find themselves faced with planning the funeral of a mum or a dad or a loved one who was practicing? And, you know, is it as much for them as it is for those who are practicing all the time?
Brenda, you have your finger on the button very clearly there. In the pastoral, I talk about, sadly, numbers who regularly worship are smaller than we might all wish. The numbers who attend funerals, we all know, are larger than ever. And no bigger funerals than that, sadly, of a young person. And young people particularly then come in very close contact with life and death, the mystery of life and death, issues that they never comprehend or never have to worry or grapple with until a peer has died, a young person has died. So this pastoral is written for all people to kind of see how can we have best practice, you know, what kind of music might be best? Wasn't Liam Lawton's piece, A Time to Remember,
gorgeous,
so splendid?
Yeah.
So splendid. And how many of our bereavement liturgies in our parishes, in the diocese and beyond, in your listenership of KFM, would have had that piece of music, another piece of music, like another one you'll play shortly, Jesus Remember Me, that Taizé chant. Again, they're the pieces, the refrains that give people great hope. Like sometimes a pop piece of music, a piece of poetry, mightn't just fit as well in with the liturgy as a good prayer and a good hymn and a good piece of reflective music might do.
But I suppose in a way, maybe people are choosing popular music because they're not familiar or as familiar as they could be with the wonderful depth and breadth of the liturgical music that we have.
There is no doubt about that. And this is, again, I stress, we're beginning the conversation. So we're not like writing the report on it today. This is a conversation over the next 12 months. And of course, people are not so familiar with the great riches of prayers, of music, of liturgy that is out there and is available. It doesn't all have to be the souls of the virtuous in the hands of God, no torment shall ever touch them. You know, it doesn't always have to be, there are many rooms in my Father's house. They're beautiful scripture, but there's much more also, and a much broader ream we need to look at and explore in the celebration of funerals. What I'm hoping, Brenda, is that there are now three deaneries in our new deanery structure in K&L, in the Kildare and Loughlin Diocese. Kildare and Loughlin West, Kildare and Loughlin North, Kildare and Loughlin South. And I'm hoping that in the new year there will be a Saturday in each of those deaneries where there will be a gathering of priests, of lay people who are involved in funeral ministry and bereavement ministry, of maybe local funeral directors and undertakers, coming together to chat, and music people coming together to let's hear what happens at a local level. Let's hear what the discussion might exactly happen. And I think perhaps it would be good if you were there, you know, with your microphone, just to take some comments from the one in K&L North whenever that happens in the new year. So we begin this conversation together so that I can hear on the ground from each of those meetings, and then we can inform through the Commission for Liturgical Formation, we can inform what best practice will be down the road.
Well, I think it's important that there is going to be a listening phase, because it's very difficult. Well, I suppose it's easy to write something, a document, but it's much more difficult to kind of write a document without being kind of informed.
Without a shadow of doubt. And I think, I suppose, while it might be easy to write a document, writing, as you know, takes a lot of stretching for any of us to put things down on paper and get your right tone, set the right piece of what you want to say. But I think a more important part than writing is listening to people. And that's what I, through the commission, I'm just one person, the bishop in the diocese, but it's the commissioner doing this. So they'll be the ones who will be organising a day in each of our deaneries. So keep tuned for notice of the day in your area.
And certainly we'll bring that information. I mean, a lot of people out there, and you could say maybe certain elements of the media, regularly flag the issue of kind of funeral eulogies, and they think that that's the only issue that we're ever concerned with as church. And
absolutely,
I know that's not the case.
Absolutely, not at all. I think it's important. You know, sometimes you'll see a report in a local paper talking about the funeral, and they will even say that Father so-and-so delivered the eulogy. Father didn't deliver eulogy, he preached the homily. And we've got to, I suppose, get all our practice. And that's why the local papers will be important into the Saturday conversations, as well as our undertakers, our music people, our bereavement counsellors, the local priests, and whoever needs to be there.
Yeah, and I suppose for a lot of it is about managing expectations as well. And if people understand the why of sort of policies, then it's easier for them to kind of take the I suppose the material on board. I mean, you know, you can't just people as a church saying no is one thing, but and it's hard for people. But if you say no because
a great deal of our church today is about language, some people in some ways don't understand the language, and therefore therefore they'll go down on a particular tangent. That's fine. But it's up to us to make sure that the people who need to know the language, around it, have the words, have the conversation, and have the vocabulary. And that's what these Saturdays, and that's what this pastoral, and that's what this conversation discussion is all about.
Now, I was particularly pleased to see a lovely piece of Ledwidge poetry in your pastoral. Would you share that little bit with us?
I would absolutely love to. Francis Ledwidge is a poet from my own home parish of Slane in County Meath. And he died in July 1917, in this year of anniversary year of the First World War. He died towards the end of that war. And the piece is from the poem A Little Boy in the Morning. It's an absolutely beautiful poem. And it's just simply the refrain, and it goes, "He will not come, and still I wait. He whistles at another gate where angels listen." May those who we miss deeply this November Sunday morning, may they rest in the peace and light of Christ as they whistle at that other gate. Amen.
Well, I think that's a very appropriate sentiment to finish on. Bishop Dennis Nulty, thank you so much for being with us in the KFM studios this Sunday morning.
Brenda, thanks very much. It's lovely to be here, and lovely to join your friends and yourself here in KFM. Thank you.